2461.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We return. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. Greg Bishop has departed for the new year. He's going to have a New Year celebration very early. We have Claudia Cunningham, Alan Greenfield, Tim Beckley. And we're talking about the fact that you go into an area where people have unusual encounters, and you find out that the unusual encounters are often far more unusual than anyone would have imagined.
Yeah, well, you know, UFO researchers have been think that they're being scientific, so-called scientific ufologists. You know, they go in and they look at one little light in the sky or something that might have landed in the field, but in the meantime, they have, forgotten about everything else that might be occurring there. In fact, when you finish investigating the case, like this incident in Ohio, that I was involved in researching years ago, the UFO, the landing becomes the most mundane, perhaps, of all the strange things that took place there. But then, strange things are taking place all around us day and night, see? And that's why, you know, even this recently, the press conference on the UFO sightings over the missile silos and complexes and all, well, that's all very interesting, and it assuredly does add weight, you know, by the credibility of the witnesses. But I think they missed the point. You know, they're trying to say, well, the aliens are trying to be tell us to be careful about our nuclear, activities and proliferation of the so forth on the planet, but, you know, UFOs have been seen everywhere. So just the fact that they have been seen over nuclear missile silos or over military bases, I don't think it's really that significant, because I used to write for, of course, the UFO Report, which Saga magazine put out in the 70s, and it was quite a publication, you know. And I did articles about UFO sightings over earthquake zones, UFO sightings over major cities. UFOs have been seen everywhere. It's part of the environment since the beginning of time, as far as I'm concerned. So I don't see any particular significance in one incident over another. They're here, there, and they're everywhere.
Alan.
Yeah.
What is your observation about what Claudia has been talking about and the various experiences she has had?
Okay, I certainly don't want to be misunderstood to be diminishing it, because I think it's a totally valid experience. It's conceivable that the guy at the dollar store was just a guy at the dollar store who was dressed in black. Heaven knows I dress in black because I'm slightly demented, but that's neither here nor there.
At least you admit it. We don't all want to admit we are demented. Some of us would rather pretend to be normal.
Why not? In a world as crazy as this is, not to be demented is a very demented thing to do. But in any case, I want to underscore that there are many, many cases of this sort. It is rare that we get someone who has experienced it directly and knows others who have experienced some of these phenomena around cemeteries specifically directly. That, as far as I can see, the only thing flying in the story is people, you know. And if we're going to talk about flying people, we'd best talk about medieval witch lore, not Wicca lore, medieval witch lore, and the notion of flying on broomsticks and say, well, those are UFOs. Well, they may be, but the point is, this seems to be a paranormal phenomenon where the men in black, quote unquote, are seen in relation to a place often associated with discarnate entities, with materializations, with ghosts. I have taken a relatively famous photo of a ghost in a purportedly haunted cemetery, and I have, and Eastman Kodak has. Long story, but the KGB had no explanation for it.
Let me just stop. Back up. The KGB had no what?
Explanation for it.
Where's the KGB involved in this?
Well, I wanted to submit the photo to various photo analysts, and I have to be a little bit careful here for him, even at this late date, but I had a friend who had access to the KGB's entire photographic apparatus, and after hours, he's a photoanalyst, and he subjected it to basically all the tests they would run on any kind of, you know, military photo asset, and could find no explanation for it, just as Eastman Kodak, who at that time employed, this is in pre-digital times, a specialist, they could find no explanation for the photo as well. It's not quite as mysterious as it sounds. The KGB wasn't as mysterious as it sounds. Ugly, yes, but we were just talking earlier about the CIA scaring the bejesus out of people in order to disrupt the communists in ufology, whoever that may be. I probably come closer than anybody else, and I'm not that close. If social democrats count, I guess they do, and I guess they do for Ed Beeble, but not anybody else. Hi, Ed, but... and the Tea Party, but there was relative open access, and the period we're talking about where it was analyzed was that transitional period in the late 80s, early 90s between Glasnost and the fall of the Soviet Union. So it was a kind of an open era, but the photo analysis was, I would consider, as good as anything that you can get in this country, and it wasn't official, but it was done by a person who had full access and full competence to use the entire apparatus of the internal secret police. Nothing. I don't regard that as, you know, any bigger than Kodak analyzing it, but it was a sort of a backdoor thing. But then, you know, one of my books that keeps getting pulled down by its detractors, the only place you can find it for free and not under my control is on a site in Belarus, which really doesn't care very much about U.S. copyright laws or people that might sue, because, and since I don't control it, they can't really blame me for it, but I'm happy to see it up there. It's in a PDF and is on an unrelated subject, or what is probably a related subject, the occult, but which ufologists seem to think is an unrelated subject, something I'm trying to change. That's all there is to that. But I don't know where I was going, because you got off on the KGB. And
well, Alan, you also took a photograph of a man in black, because I know I described it in my
yeah,
book. I mean, you and I are
more
both.
I think about it. You were at the table at the time this guy walked in. I don't know if you had noticed him at the convention.
I don't remember. Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, it was not like, you know, he wasn't glowing or anything. It was when I confronted him that things got really weird. I thought he was, you know, somebody doing a man in black. But, of course, when I confronted him, and I just decided to do that on the spur of the moment, because we had a lot of witnesses around, and, of course, he seems to remember, but, and some of, you know, Gray was there, Jim was there, Jim Mosley was there, but, you know, some of them have gone on, and some have differing memories of events than I do. But in
we're going to get into one of those instances, by the way, with Tim Beckley and his photograph of someone who may be a man in black in a moment. But go ahead, Alan.
Okay, and I want to do, when you talk about that, let me put in my 2 cents worth regarding why I believe this particular man in black was shadowing specifically John and Mary Robinson. But in any case, when I confronted the guy, he let me take the photo, or just was frozen, I don't know which it was, in clear daylight, and then went around a corner, and you know, thought to get, well, I got a second photo of him running away. Well, he wasn't running, he was walking, and if he ran after he got to the corner. It may have been 2 seconds. It was a Sunday in Charleston, West Virginia, which is as much as saying you could shoot a cannon off and, you know, on the street and hit nobody. So there wasn't a lot of traffic. There weren't a lot of people. There were. I turned the corner, maybe tops 2 seconds after him, and he was gone.
Now, this episode is continuing, but this segment is gone, because that's how it has to be. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. Greg Bishop was here a little bit earlier. We have Claudia Cunningham, Alan Greenfield, Tim Beckley. The man around the corner is gone. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
The Pentecost.
Hi, this is Tamar from Namecheap. We're a domain name and web hosting company, and we really care about our customers. With domain name purchases, Namecheap offers free SSL and free WhoisGuard for a year to protect your identity from spammers. Most importantly, we care about you. If you'd like to learn more, please visit us at radio.namecheap.com, radio.namecheap.com for web hosting and domain name specials. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Namecheap or become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/Namecheap. See you online.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate brings you the latest in all aspects of the paranormal, like angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your complimentary Fate magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Are you wondering about your retirement portfolio? Are you confident that the financial advisor is experienced enough to combat climbing interest rates, taxes, and inflation? Stop guessing and go to the expert, Robert Chapman of the International Forecaster. When you subscribe to the International Forecaster, you get Robert Chapman's 45 years of experience and concise investment recommendations. Who needs sugar-coated excuses when you can get the cold hard facts and proven investment leads you can't get anywhere else? For a free introductory copy to Robert Chapman's International Forecaster, subscribe now at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. Experience the difference. When you subscribe, you can email Robert Chapman directly to obtain investment advice tailored just for you. Don't wait another minute. Subscribe today at theinternationalforecaster.com or call 877-479-8178. That's 877-479-8178.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 5 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three Sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three Sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping. An $87 value, yours free. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
We want to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com. Get in on all the action at forum.theparacast.com. www.gcnradionetwork.com.
Okay, we will look around the corner in a moment with Alan Greenfield. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. We have Tim Beckley, Claudia Cunningham. Alan, okay, so only a few seconds pass. You turn the corner. He's not there.
Okay, let me reemphasize. 2 seconds tops. I mean, I'm being very generous there. I turned the corner. He turned the corner as soon as I took the photo. And I turned the corner immediately after him. I was no more than 8 feet behind him. I was moving quickly. So 2 seconds is probably being generous with the timing. And he was not there. I did not see him disappear in thin air. But I looked very carefully around me, and there simply was no indication that I had that he could have gone in another door, because there weren't any. It was a kind of a, around the corner. It was a non-retail type neighborhood. In other words, warehouses and so forth. There were no entrances within easy reach of him. No cars that he could have gotten into. No place that he could have hidden. It was in broad daylight. He disappeared. The fact that I did not see him disappear at that moment is unfortunate, but the fact that he was gone, I would say, disappearing in thin air is more likely than any other explanation that occurs to me. And I've had a lot of years to think about it, and I had a lot of years before I even mentioned this to anyone. I do believe that, Tim, correct me, Tim is covering this in his new book on the darker side of ufology, and I believe Nick Redfern, in a different way, is also covering this in his new book on the Men in Black. We're going to have new reading material on this old but never before revealed case, and one of the few by a ufologist. And of course, Tim also has one of those.
Okay, Tim, the picture, the famous picture, in someone near the home of John and Mary Robinson.
That's correct.
Now, there have been differing memories. We talked to Jim Mosley about this, and I gather you might remember it differently than he does, but that's not unusual. Lots of us remember things a little differently than Jim does.
Okay. There's only one way to remember it, and if anybody wants to check the background, my book, The UFO Silencers, Mysteries of the Men in Black, has an entire chapter that Jack Robinson wrote about the incident. So we could sway to what happened to his eyes, because he was actually the one that this was all happening to. Anyway, back in 1966-67, there was a rather large continuing wave of UFO reports and landings in the metropolitan area. There was one incident where a group of teenage boys had seen a tall greenish, that's not say little green man, because this was a tall greenish being running away from them in one of the parks. I think it was near Passaic, but you'd have to check the UFO Silencers book. The details, of course, on that. But anyway, Jack was involved. Was an associate editor of Saucer News. I was the managing editor, and I believe you were on the staff at that point or around that point as well.
I was your predecessor.
There you go. Okay. Anyway, now Saucer News, of course, had the largest circulation of any UFO magazine at the time, and probably the largest subscription base of any UFO magazine ever. As far as we know, because Jim did have a mailing list at one point of about 10,000 names, thanks to a kiddie program, I believe. Chuck McCann, was it, that he was on as a frequent guest. And, of course, he was on Long John, and I was on at the time, too. And Jack was a member of the staff of Saucer News, and Saucer News had a real office on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan, and regular meetings and staff meetings as well. In fact, Jack is kind of, if you remember, Gene, the secretary of the movement. He kept the strict minutes, and we actually had meetings, and if you were out of line, he'd wrap the ruler on the table, you know. And
he basically knew, was infused with, absorbed Robert's Rules of Order, and he could recite it backwards, forwards, sideways.
Yeah, that's probably the only person ever in ufology to actually have minutes that nobody would listen to the next meeting, you know. But Jack was a somewhat serious researcher. He was on Long John quite a bit. He was friends of Augie Roberts, Dominic Lucchesi, and all the other Gray Barker, of course. And Jack was a collector of tales about the subterranean world of Richard Shaver. I remember we used to talk quite a bit about that. In fact, Jack did a couple of chapters for some of my books on the Shaver mystery and the inner earth. Anyway, there was this a flap of sightings, and the most pronounced one being the boys who were chased or chased this green-skinned being through the park. Okay, anyway, there was another investigator by the name of Smythe. I think his first name was George Smythe, who actually interviewed the boys in a group. And they were standing on a street corner, I think in the town of Elizabeth, which you don't necessarily want to do, take your time doing
now.
It. anyway, while he was interviewing the teenagers, they noticed across the street there was this typical MIB type Cadillac or black car parked there, with the window just rolled down perhaps an inch or two, and maybe some eyes looking out from peering out from behind. Well, George Smythe reported all the goings on, the ufological goings on in the neighborhood to Jack Robinson, who was the point man with Saucer News. And Jack would put all this material together, and he kept it in a file in his house and talked about it on the air and wrote an article for Saucer News, which Jim doesn't even remember publishing, I bet, because that's where it originated. Okay, so when Jack would go to work every morning, he worked at a bank in Manhattan, he would take the PATH train over. He'd leave to go to work maybe about 7:45, 8 o'clock. And his wife, Mary, a very delightful, charming lady who was into the paranormal phenomena. She fooled around, if you remember, Gene, with the Ouija board. And they were characters. There's no doubt about that, you know. And while Jack was on his way to Manhattan to bring home the bread, Mary was out buying it. And she would do her shopping and errands around the neighborhood. I believe they lived on Palisade Avenue, which is kind of a semi-busy area of Jersey City, at least at that time. And
it was kind of a middle-class standard residential area.
Yeah, apartment,
area.
Old apartment buildings. And
that's
things,
right.
Like four or five-floor apartment buildings. And I think they lived, if I remember correctly, on the first or second floor. Anyway, while Mary would go out to do her errands, she noticed that standing in the doorway next to their building would be a gentleman dressed in black, kind of strangely just sort of recessed into the doorway, apparently keeping eyes or tabs on the neighborhood and apparently on who would go in and out of their front door. All right, so she called numerous times about this, and while this was going on, Jack was reporting some interference on the telephone, some of his files being rifled through, the normal paranoid stuff that you might expect from a UFO researcher.
Now, I understand, of course, to anybody else, this is not normal. It's very unusual. We have Tim Beckley, and you'll learn later how to get more information from Tim, including some free newsletters, I gather. We have Alan Greenfield, Claudia Cunningham. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
the Paracast.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and Freudian phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to MrUFO@WebTV.net. That's MrUFO@WebTV.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
There are many types of storable foods, but how about a superfood that contains every nutrient that the human body needs for survival? 50% protein, 300 milligrams of potassium per ounce, and calcium and magnesium for your heart and bones, with many more nutrients found in this incredible food source that the government does not want you to have. This product is available in powder, seeds, and oil, and is shipped free to your door in the U.S. This product is illegal to grow in the U.S., but is legal to import. Don't waste time thinking about storing food. Plan ahead and prepare for yourself and your family now, and be in control of your destiny. You can save and invest your money, but in the end, food will be your greatest asset. Remember what the Word of God says in Ezekiel 7:19. Call 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Remember, food will be your greatest asset. Call 908-691-2608. This product does not contain THC. Call 908-691-2608 today.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait. There's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
I have about 15 wild food guides on my bookshelf, which left me wondering if I even needed another book. Boy, was I wrong. My knowledge exploded to an entire universe of wild foods.
In olden days, it was the norm to know which plants are edible and which are not.
Dear Linda, just wanted to let you know I received your book today. Wow.
I watched the DVD last night. I was awestruck. What wonderful work you have done. This information can bless many people. Thank you. Again.
Thanks again.
Your book has given me the most hope and inspiration. Thank you.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at ofthefield.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Chris, my friend, listening to stories like this, and we'll have Tim continue this story about this man in black or whatever who was watching outside the home of John and Mary Robertson in New Jersey, what is your take about all this? Do you find yourself looking maybe furtively behind you that maybe you're being followed by someone?
Well, the only times, no. I guess the short answer would be no, I don't. I have had some periods of time during my investigative work where I started getting involved in researching certain subjects that were probably a little dangerous when it comes to the government and government activities, facilities, that sort of thing. And I did have a period about 6 months where there were people reported following me. I did have a visit from a man in a brushed safari suit who looked like he was straight out of some spy novel. And, you know, I have had some pretty interesting computer situations where impossible things would happen to my computer and that sort of thing.
That's almost going to have to bring you back on just to talk about that.
Yeah. Generally, the way I look at it is that there are factions within this whole mystery, and they're not all in agreement. And I tend to think that I have one faction that's protecting my my work and protecting my interests and shielding me from the other faction. So I look at this also from a positive point of view that you know, everybody has this knee-jerk reaction that these types of entities or beings or agents, if you will, are negative. And I think that's an assumption on our part. I think there are as many of these types of denizens of the mysterious out there that are supporting our efforts as opposed to trying to thwart them. So that's kind of my take on it. In other words, I want that glass to be filled. It's not half empty. It's not filled. I'm going to help fill it. So
okay, so let's take a look. The man watching Jack and Mary Robinson. Tim Beckley, tell us more.
Okay, so Mary would say that she felt that this individual, this Mib, was spying on them. And it might have been responsible for the files being rifled through and the telephone interruptions and so forth. So she called 5 or 6 times, you know, and again, we tried to, Jim and I tried to figure out, well, is she making up this story just to tantalize us and to have something to discuss with the very important staff of Saucer News? Or was there somebody legitimately standing there that shouldn't be there that early in the morning, and how strange were they indeed? So what Jim and I decided to do, we made plans the night before that he was going to pick me up in his car because he drove. This is he can't remember who took the photograph. Well, I didn't drive at that time, but that's we'll get to that in a minute. Okay, so he picked me up, and we drove through the Lincoln Tunnel over to Jersey City. We did not tell Jack or Mary that we were coming. We pulled onto Palisade Avenue, and some cars were double parked. It was a very narrow street. You know, people, there wasn't, parking where you had to move your car at, 7 o'clock in the morning like there is now. They'd tow you away, you know. So there was cars parked on both sides of the street, leaving a very narrow space to get by if you had to drive. You know, it was a one-way street. Anyway, we get up to the barbershop, which was next door to their apartment building. And sure enough, there is a black Cadillac parked on the street, or a black car, let's say, because I don't remember what it is now. There's a photograph in Saucer News that was printed at the time. Sure enough, there's this, I would say, peculiar-looking individual. He wasn't levitating off the ground, and his eyes weren't glowing or anything. So Jim hands me his camera. Okay, it was his camera. He hands me his camera. I take it. I stick my hand outside the window, focus on the individual in the doorway, one click, and there's some traffic in back of us, so we decide we're going to go around the block, try to find a place to park, and confront this person firsthand. Well, I would say it took us maybe 5 or 6 minutes to get around the block, right? It is Jersey City, it's not Manhattan. And we get back to where this had taken place, and the car is gone, and the individual is gone. Now, the peculiar thing to me about this, other than the fact that he did look a little strange, I always enjoy looking at the pointed shoes that he's wearing that maybe look a little two-toned or something, and he's wearing the black trench coat and a hat and so forth. But the thing that I find peculiar about this is that directly following this episode where I took the photograph, or Jim and I took the photograph, the man never returned, and Jack and Mary never reported having any more interference. So people say, well, you were stalked by the Men in Black. I say, no, I stalked the Men in Black, and I do believe that I changed them away, because lack of fear and persistence will often shotgun or get rid of the evil. I don't know how I'm sure Alan would put it much more eloquently.
But, but the thing I'm going to ask, because, yes. Okay, now we have the rest of the story.
Yes.
And what happened, who this guy may have been. On the other hand, you know, if you go into certain parts of New Jersey, certain people live and work there who are members of, shall we say, less than legal elements or corporations. It could be he had business with one of those things.
I don't think that they were living in Jack and Mary's building or next door to it. And why would they disappear mysteriously and never show themselves again after the photograph was taken?
Yeah, well, you know, you don't know that because you have not looked at that corner every time. Yeah. And was Mary watching every single day whether this guy would come back?
You certainly have a valid point there, Gene. You know, I can't swear on my life that it was a MIB, but I do think it was a strange incident. I do believe that Jim's take on it was that there was some sort of after-hours gambling going on. Well, there was no evidence at all for that. Most after-hours gambling, I don't think, is going on at 8 a.m., and they don't usually have a guy standing in black in the park. It doesn't fit. And when you add up the fact that Jack and Mary were both involved again in all this supernatural and paranormal stuff and had been investigating these cases in the Metropolitan Corridor, you just have a little bit more than, shall we say, a coincidence. Or at least that's my take on it. I find it a little bit strange. And the guy is kind of odd-looking. I mean, he is recessed back into the doorway, and he doesn't even belong circa 1967 in that neighborhood that I can put my finger on it.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think, Gene, this is really important because I've heard the same thing from Jim Moseley, and I think a grain of salt and a certain amount of skepticism is really extremely important. There is Robert Anton Wilson's famous dictum about a cast iron BS detector in order to be able to do any of these things. And I feel that is true, but my BS detector in this particular case tells me a number of things. First of all, of course, Jack and Mary would know the immediate neighborhood better than anyone else at the time, and they were, in fact, looking all the time. That's sort of the reason that Jim and Tim decided to go there. Am I not correct, Tim?
Because to get Jim Moseley up at 8 o'clock in the morning, or myself for that matter.
Okay, so they take one sweep around the block, and he's gone. And don't think that Jack and Mary stopped watching, but they never reported it again. So the odds are that this supposed racing tout, numbers taker, gambling den, opium den, whatever, that really doesn't... What, they're going to get scared off because, forgive me, Jim and Tim drive by once and take a picture? That does not compute. On the other hand, it's consistent with my own experience of, you go once around the block, and of course they took a little more time, they were in a car, but nevertheless, gone, and as far as we can tell, I presume they're both no longer with us, but I presume Jack and Mary continued to watch and didn't see it anymore, so stopped reporting it. They would have continued to report it if that or another guy had continued to be there.
Going
to
ask a silly question here. Have you had an experience that you think is related to men in black? Let us know about it. Write us, news@theparacast.com, news@theparacast.com, or check out our forums and post your message there. We have Alan Greenfield, Tim Beckley, Claudia Cunningham. Our co-host is Chris O'Brien. I'm Gene Steinberg. You're in
The Paracast.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by
charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. PatriotInternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This is the Paracast. You never know what's going to happen next.
Of course, we're talking about the Men in Black in reality, not the movie with Will Smith or Tommy Lee Jones. I understand it's going to be a Men in Black 3. Our journey coming to an end soon, looking for the Men in Black. And maybe the Men in Black or a Man in Black was hanging out at the home of the late Jack and Mary Robinson years and years ago. Tim, you were about to say something, but I should tell our listeners we have Alan Greenfield, Claudia Cunningham, our co-host is Chris O'Brien. Tim Beckley is champing at the bit to respond to what Alan said. Go ahead, please.
Okay. Also, too, like I say, the material from this is from the mid-1960s, and it is documented as much as any of this can be documented in the UFO Silencers book. It was not the only paranormal or unexplainable incident that took place surrounding Jack and Mary, George Smythe, and other researchers involved in this. In fact, on one particular incident, it was reported that Jim Moseley, John Keel, and Gray Barker showed up to interrogate some of the witnesses to the UFO flap. But, of course, none of those three men were probably ever together as a group, and certainly not in the Jersey City, Paramus metropolitan area early in the morning or late in the afternoon, I would even think. So there were a lot of materializations and other strange phenomena that adds import to this particular incident. but I've just told you about my own. I can tell you about what happened to me and how I was involved in this. Now, I'm more concerned, never mind these mid-types or this guy in the doorway, I'm more concerned about actual threats that have been made to me. I believe now that some of these MIBs are zombie types, that they are actually mind-controlled by someone or something somewhere, that they are perhaps earthly in origin, but they are easily people who are swayed and go out and have no memory, perhaps the next day, of even what they've done. I've had one case where a gentleman, I use that word carefully and in quotes, would repeatedly call me on the phone and threaten me. I'd never give out my exact location, so he didn't know where I was. But this went on and on for several months, and I did even call the police. And it turned out that he was somebody who was living, apparently, in Grand Central Station. And I know from talking, I did trace his family down, actually. They lived in Florida. And I found that he had a series of mental problems. And I think that this outside force, or whoever is controlling the phenomena, may have actually been involved in having him make these threats because they couldn't materialize and do it themselves. I had another incident where a
place... But Tim, it could also just be an isolated lunatic.
Yeah, but there's been more than one isolated lunatic. That's the point. Maybe this subject attracts people of that nature.
Isolated lunatics. Here we go.
Yes, or maybe they really are being controlled. I think in some cases that there has somebody that has actually possessed them, which is the subject of my next book, Round Trip to Hell in a Flying Saucer.
Well, no wonder we were promoting that book. But seriously speaking, a lot of what we're talking about here with Men in Black, it's kind of old. I mean, not that it's not important, but Jack and Mary Robinson in the 60s and the 70s. We have, of course, Albert K. Bender in the 50s, all that other stuff. So the question I put to the entire panel here, and Claudia, of course, your experiences are far more recent, but Alan, you mentioned early on, and people think I don't remember what people say, and that's only for what I say. But I do remember, Alan, you were talking about MIB from 2010.
I recited a long case that took place in the 1990s on this program earlier on.
Right.
Listen to it again. There are cases that are more recent than that. The most recent that I know of was, I'm going to keep it a little bit anonymous, but I would be glad to reveal the details to you in private to validate it if you need it. But a friend of mine was going to do a television program, a network television, well, whatever they call it now, a large cable system television program on the subject of the Illuminati. Now, I happen to have had something to do with the same program, but that's sort of a separate issue. Usually those programs, they pretty well, Tim knows the drill on this, they pretty well pay your expenses and maybe even give you a per diem. Nothing to write home about, but still it's, you know, they get you there and they get you back. So anyway, so they stash their guests at a nice hotel at their expense, and this particular company did not send out the limo and stuff, which is nice. You know, people enjoy that. But this guy was going to talk about his take, very different from mine, on the Illuminati conspiracy. Well, I'm not big on conspiracies per se, and the Illuminati, I have perhaps a very different interpretation of what and who they are.
And Alan, we're down to the wire here, so we're going to have to ask you to summarize it.
He got into a cab that was supposedly sent for him, and the cab driver, about halfway there, proceeds to tell him not to talk about the Illuminati. The cab driver is dressed as a chauffeur, not as a cab driver, although it was, you know, your standard New York yellow taxi, you know the type. I mean, I'm sure you've taken them a million times. And when he gets there, throughout his experience with the people on TV, a group of people dressed in dark clothing with the Ray-Bans, the whole, you know, the usual setup, but clearly not associated with the TV crew, are shadowing the entire broadcast. And the guy understated his case out of fear, but told me about it and asked me to keep, you know, his name confidential, which I have done, and which probably is best that I do in his case. I didn't have a similar experience, so, you know, it was not my deal, but some of the TV crew noticed these people, and when they asked him, well, what do you have in the way of proof, he looked around him and looked at some of these people, and he couldn't help himself. He laughed nervously, but also at the irony of the question, and he said, well, all you have to do is look around you. This was August of 2010 in New York City.
Yeah, well, Gene, now also, the newspaper in Tucson, I think it's
is that
Tucson
recent
Journal
enough for you? I mean,
very
Tucson,
recent.
Okay, Tucson Journal, there is a lady who does a UFO column that appears in the Internet version of the newspaper a couple of times a week. She has posted several MIB accounts from Arizona. I have one in my UFO terrorist book that took place in Palo Verde in July of 2009. So I think, well, we have two things here. Some people have probably really been silenced and don't talk about their experience, right, because that's sort of the point of all this. And maybe, again, with the movies being out there, they don't want to be thought of as being lumped together with, you know, the Men in Black version that you see on the giant silver screen, which is kind of humorous and met all in fun, as opposed to the really dreaded fellows out there.
I'll tell you what, we're just about ready to close it. Close shop
okay,
for 2010.
Let me kind of deal with you, Gene.
Yes.
From here on, you say there are recent cases. We've just, you know, in the few minutes we've had left, we've recited four or five to you. So you don't have to believe any of the phenomenon, but at least cop to there are recent cases.
Well, that's good to know. I think our listeners are happy to know that.
Okay,
now, in Greenfield, where can we find more of the things that you talk about or write about?
You Google me, A-L-L-E-N. GREMFIELD, Alan Greenfield, and you will get hundreds and hundreds of places to go to hear more of my either wisdom or ravings, according to whose view you take.
Tim Beckley, where can we find more of your stuff?
Well, free subscriptions for everybody at conspiracyjournal.com, or what I tell people, go to amazon.com, type in my name, Timothy Beckley, or Kim Schwartz, or Commander X. Hundreds of books will come up, then go to our site or my email, and we'll give you a better deal, but don't tell anybody, and happy holiday to you all.
Chris O'Brien, where do we find more of what you have to offer?
Well, I have a website, Our Strange Planet. It is a strange planet. It's OurStrangePlanet.com. And you can find out information about all my books and my current projects, including the SLV camera project, which is moving ahead in fits and starts. And happy holidays to everyone out there, too. Happy New Year.
A special thank you to our crew. Greg Bishop, our co-host who was here earlier. Claudia Cunningham. You don't have anything to sell. That's good to know. T. Alan Greenfield, Tim Beckley, Chris O'Brien, our co-host. Thank you all for joining us on the Paracast.
Thank you. Good night.
Yeah, thanks, Gene.
You bet.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, you guys.
Jingle bells, jingle bells.
Happy Hanukkah. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. And the same to you.
The Paracast is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Hi, Ted Anderson announcing a great way to listen to radio on the telephone. By calling 760-569-7700, you'll be hearing GCNLive.com programs in seconds. Come to GCNLive.com, find your favorite host's dedicated phone number, and hear them 24/7. You heard me right, every show has a dedicated phone number. Stop by GCNLive.com and bookmark their number today. And again, that's 760-569-7700. We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.